Hey, everybody. Welcome to Season 3 of the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We are so glad you're here. I'm your host, Becky Davidson, and it is our hope and desire that this podcast becomes a place where you can come and meet other inspirational families who are raising amazing children with special needs and just gain information and insight to help you on your journey as you raise your child with special needs, or if you're here listening as not a special needs parent, so you can learn more about what our life is like as special needs parents. We are so excited because today we have my new friend, Sandy Ramsey Travick, as our guest. And I got to know Sandy back at the beginning of the spring when we started being on lockdown and quarantine, and she joined us for one of our virtual coffee talk groups. And I got to know her there, and we have just fallen in love with her over these past few months of getting to know her. She has just jumped right in and become part of our family here at Rising Above, leading online connect groups and just helping in so many ways. And let me just tell you, her story is amazing. The whole time we were talking, I just was blown away with all of the stories she was telling, with the insight and wisdom that she has to share. And I cannot wait for you to get to hear from her. Now, she is also going to be one of our fall community group leaders, where she's going to be leading a fall community group for special needs moms. So be sure to go to our website, risingaboveministries.org, and check out the class that she's going to be teaching, plus check out all of the other amazing classes that we're going to be offering. Lee and Sandra Peoples are going to be leading a class on their book, Held. We have Joe and Cindy Farini leading a study on their book on marriage, Love Always, where they're going to be talking about the challenges and the trials that come through raising a child with special needs and how that can affect your marriage, but ways that you can grow deep and rich relationships within your marriage, even through all the challenges and trials that you face. So we have those classes plus so many more. And so we want you to go check that out, risingaboveministries.org. Look at our community page and you will find all the information there. Now I'm going to tell you, this conversation you're getting ready to hear, you're going to want to have paper and a pen because you are going to want to take notes. I'm going to go back and listen to it over and over again because Sandy just is so full of wisdom. Her heart just comes through when you listen to her speak, and I cannot wait for you to get to hear my friend, Sandy Ramsey Travick. Hey, Sandy, thank you so much for joining me today for the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I am so excited for you to be here and to share a little bit about your story and share some, I know, of your fabulous wisdom and knowledge that you have with our listeners.
Oh, Becky, thanks for having me. I'm so excited. I'm actually humbled to be here. And so thank you so much.
Well, I'm so glad that you were willing to give up some time today to have this conversation with me. And, you know, I was thinking back when I was working on my notes about, you know, we met and we haven't actually met face to face, but we virtually met back, I guess, in the spring, kind of back at the beginning of COVID, when we were all at home and we had started the virtual coffee talk groups, and you joined in one of those groups with us, and we've just kind of snatched you up and said, we've put you to work already, and you've been leading groups for us, and you have gotten right in there and gotten involved, and we're just so grateful for you.
You guys have become my people.
Amen. We feel the same about you. We fell in love with you from the moment that we met you, and just that's how we feel too. We're like, we love Sandy. We got off when we had that Zoom call. We got off with you. Everybody was like, Sandy for president. We were like, Sandy needs to run for president. So,
you know, it's so funny. Right before COVID, the Lord told me that he said that I was isolating myself too much, that I needed to connect with more people. And then COVID hit. And so I was like, Lord, how am I going to do that? And so I'm like, well, here's somebody I can connect with. And I told you that I'd just gotten Jeff's book.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I found you in his book. And so I just feel like it was supposed to be.
I have no doubt. Okay, I got cold chills. I love that. I could not agree more. So I know about you, but our listeners don't. So tell us a little bit about your family, who all's in your family, and what your family looks like.
Okay. Well, there's me. My husband, Terry, we will have been married 30 years next month.
Congrats.
Hard to believe we've been married so long.
That's
a long time. My husband, great, great, great man of God. You know, he's the kind of person where God says jump, and before God can get the words out, Terry's already jumping. So like a man who promptly obeys God. And our journey through special needs actually helped Terry to be that man. Mm. So my husband left the corporate world 14 years ago, really a thriving career because the Lord told him to leave. And since then, he's been consulting with Christian businesses and recently started his own private equity firm and has been having the time of his life learning about God's ways of doing business. Mm-hmm. And so that's my Terry. And I can't talk about Terry without mentioning that he is a lover of all things golf.
Mm.
One of the things that working from home has enabled him to do is get out on the golf course. And so every opportunity he gets, he's swinging a golf club.
There you go.
Yes. I have three kids. Miles, our son with special needs. You know, we've been special needs parents now for 20 plus years.
Wow.
Miles got sick as a toddler, 13 months old, and the result of the illness was some cognitive disabilities and some physical disabilities. What I would tell you about him, though, is that he personifies the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, Becky, I'm sure you've seen this, that there has been nothing that has happened to him that has been able to steal his joy, to quench his joy.
Yes.
He is kind of like our hero here. Mm-hmm. And I know that your husband used to call John Alex Superman.
Yep.
This is our Superman. He loves the word. He preaches the word. Great kid. He has a twin sister, Jaden, who has always been, I guess, my thinker, has always wondered how things work, why things work the way that they do. And so she's going back to finish her senior year in college. She's going back next week. But after school, she wants to do research in autism and cognitive disabilities.
Wow.
And isn't that like, look at God. And so that's what her interests are. And then finally, my oldest daughter loves all things music. She writes music. She sings. She produces. She DJs. She expresses herself through music. And so those are my people. People who I love more than anybody else in the world.
So sweet. And so you guys, you've had a career change yourself. Your husband had a career change, but you did as well.
Yes. When Miles got sick, when it was time for him to come home from the hospital, we knew that we needed someone to care for him. Mm-hmm. And so I'd been fortunate in that the company that I worked for had given me a leave of absence to be in the hospital with him. He was in there for about 4 months. Mm-hmm. But I expected that when he came home that I'd be able to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And I'd been praying for the Lord to send us a caregiver. And he said, yes, I do have a caregiver for Miles, and it's you. And so, and this was really an act of faith for us because my income made up half of our household income. So for me to stop working was no small thing. But one of the things that both Terry and I have told people is that you don't know who God is in a situation until you give him the opportunity to show you who he is. And so he showed us then that he was really our provider. When I left work, Terry started getting promoted. He started getting raises. Our household income, really, we didn't miss a beat. And I think it's because we gave God the opportunity to show us in that situation who he was. And so my background was in brand management and marketing. And now I'm doing coaching.
So tell us a little bit about your coaching that you do, what that looks like, and who you're most passionate about serving. I know the answer, but tell us a little bit about that.
You know what? I started out coaching women in transition because I felt like that was my story. And so it was something that I could relate to. But God asked me to make a change to start coaching special needs parents. And my first thought was, Lord, how do I do that? Because the special needs parents that I knew, they were in counseling, but none of them were in coaching. And he told me, and these are his words, they are working with a disabled life mindset. He told me that about myself. And then he said, that is what I want you to coach them about. And by that, he meant that we as special needs parents can sometimes get so focused on the hardship and the difficulties of our everyday lives that we lose sight of kind of the broad and spacious life that God promised us. We lose sight of the fact that Jesus said that I came to give you life and life more abundantly, and that that didn't change when we became special needs parents, that our mindsets got in the way and limited us from seeing all the possibilities, all the choices that we had. And so, long story short, he says, I want you to coach them to an undisabled life so that they can see the joy that they can still have, that they can see the possibilities that are still available to them. And so, that resonates with me. And so I can see the need for it.
There is such a need for that. And I think parents, it's so easy to get stuck in that mindset, what you were talking about. And so I'm grateful that you're there coaching parents to show them how you can have a shift. And I think for those of us, you know, we've been on this journey about the same amount of time, almost 23 years for me, and I forget how long you said for you, and 22 years, did you say?
No, it's going on 21 years.
21 years. And so, you know, we're a little bit further down the path than some parents, but there is kind of this place of when we can get to acceptance and we can see that this is God's plan for our family, that you kind of do a deep breath, you know, in and out, and it's like, okay, this is God's best for us, and we can change that perspective. And so I think that's what you're trying to teach parents, which I think is a fabulous thing to do. And we'll share more about your website here in a little bit where people can find you. Okay. But, you know, I was thinking about, one of the main reasons I wanted to have this conversation with you is because, you know, we're in a season right now where families, you know, the special needs life, we're stressed anyway. We have decisions that we have to make that most parents can't even comprehend. And then you add in COVID and all the stresses that come along with the fear of, do I send my child back to school? Do we go to church or not go to church? Where is it safe for us to go? And I think the fear in our lives has been just compounded to where a lot of people are frozen and stuck and can't see beyond that fear. So I wanted to bring you in to have a conversation about decision-making, about how to make wise decisions as a special needs parent in general, but then in light of COVID, how things have changed where we are now, as well. You know, Sandra Peoples talks about decision fatigue a lot. And you know, all the decisions that we have to make. And sometimes it's just like, we can't take one more step going forward because we are so overwhelmed with what's going on. So, you know, you've been a special needs mom for over 20 years now. So when you were in those early years, how did you handle the stress and how did you handle, you know, all the decisions that you had to make back in those early years?
Yeah, so, you know, our introduction to special needs was through illness. And so, as I mentioned, Miles was in the hospital for about 4 months. And I honestly think, kind of looking back, Becky, that God used those 4 months to teach us so much about who He is, and which is so much broader than kind of what we consider on a day-to-day basis, and His desire and His plan to kind of move us through situations. Mm-hmm. And so Terry and I learned that while we were in the hospital with him. One of the first things that we did, you know, as followers of Christ, our son's in the hospital, we're getting all of this bad news. He's in a coma. He ended up being in a coma for about 6 weeks, is that we started praying and fasting. That's one of the things that we decided to do early on because we knew that we needed to hear from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he did early on for us was show us that he was in this battle with us. I remember, so Miles was in a coma because one of the complications from his illness was hydrocephalus. And the neurosurgeon, the neurologist thought that the water on the brain was what was causing the coma and that if we could relieve some of the pressure on his brain that Miles would wake up. And so they inserted a shunt to relieve some of the pressure on his brain. But when they inserted the shunt, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And the neurosurgeon came back and said, looks like this is not going to work. And his mindset was, he's just going to be in a coma because we thought this was it, but that wasn't it. Mm-hmm. Unbeknownst to us, one of our neighbors, who we didn't really know that well, we had kids in the same class, but we didn't know each other that well. He was a radiologist at the hospital. He happened to see Miles's films. He happened to recognize our last name. And he happened to notice the way that the shunt was inserted was slightly off.
Wow.
He told the neurosurgeon. The neurosurgeon said, we want to make some adjustments. They made the adjustments. The fluid started draining and Miles started waking up.
Wow.
It is not by happenstance that he saw something that the first radiologist and the neurosurgeon didn't see.
Yeah.
We found out that he was a strong believer in Christ. He started coming to our room to pray with us and told us that he would kind of keep an eye on Miles. But the Lord showed us early on, I'm in this.
I love that.
And we needed to, because, you know, there's so many times when you are in prayer and you don't exactly know how God is going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes so helpful for him to show up in those kind of unexpected ways so that, first of all, you know, that can be only God, nobody. There's no way it couldn't be. And if he's in with us for this, then of course he will be with us throughout. And that was what our journey was like in the hospital. Was it hard? Yes.
Yeah.
Did we hear some of the worst things we were told? If he ever wakes up, he will never walk. He will never talk. He will never feed himself.
Mm-hmm.
He will be paralyzed. The best thing you would do for him and for yourselves would be to institutionalize him. That's what we heard all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we were hearing from the Lord. And
mm-hmm.
so kind of like this COVID situation, all we're hearing is bad news. But God is not surprised by COVID.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Like he went to sleep and was like, oh no, you know, COVID hit. Yeah.
When he planned our lives, mm-hmm. COVID was in the plan. And so, you know, I believe that he's not just willing, but that he wants to show us kind of his way through this. Again, it might not be easy, mm-hmm. but he'll be in it with
us. I love that. And you know, what's so sweet to me is that he showed you that from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. He showed you that from the very beginning. And I feel like he does that for all of us, but we don't always see it. We're not always in tune to that and can overlook sometimes when he's showing up, sometimes through his people, mm-hmm. through other ways. In fact, that's what I see so often God will, you know, he'll show up through his people when you're needing that little bit of encouragement or just you're needing some help with something and God places it on someone's heart to come to your rescue, just like with that story there. So from the very beginning, that was kind of your word.
Yes.
You know, that he was going to be with you through this whole thing. I love that. Now you mentioned prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fasting is not something that we all hear about praying, but fasting is not something that we talk about a lot of times. Share what that looks like for you and how you've seen that be such an important part of your journey as a special needs parent.
And so the way that we were taught was that fasting helps to silence us on the inside, so that we can hear God more clearly. And so what we did while we were in the hospital, the way we fasted was we didn't eat anything. We ate one meal a day. That's what we did. And we prayed all day long. And so instead of eating the other two meals, we used those times as prayer times.
Mm-hmm.
And because we fasted for so long, because it was 4 months, we were able to hear God. We were able to sense his presence. We were able to sense the directions that he wanted us to move in. Mm-hmm. However, he chose to talk to us. We had one instance when, because, as I told you, we were hearing so much bad news about Miles. The doctors were routinely telling us, your son's not out of the woods yet. He's not out of the woods yet. Mm-hmm. He's not out of the woods yet. And so Terry and I, when people would ask us, how's Miles? We'd say, he's not out of the woods yet. He's mm-hmm. not out of the woods yet. Well, one day when Terry was sitting in Miles's room reading the paper, his eyes landed on a cartoon strip. It was of two trees talking to each other. And one tree said to the other, I wish you would stop saying we're not out of the woods yet.
Okay, cold chills, just you saying that. Oh my goodness, yeah.
And so the same time, so Terry's in the hospital, he gets this message in a comic strip. My sister calls me, she's been praying and fasting with us, and she said, Sandy, the Lord told me this morning in prayer that you and Terry are in a spiritual battle for Miles's life. Stop saying what they're telling you to say mm-hmm. and start saying what you believe in God for. So that's what we did. And they thought in the hospital, they thought we were crazy. So much so, Becky, that they held a meeting with all of his specialists, his pediatricians, everyone who treated him to find out if we were okay, because they thought, clearly you do not understand the seriousness of this. We want to make sure you get it. And we told them, yes, we understand everything, but this is what we've chosen to believe. And by the end of Miles's hospital stay, they were like, you know, rah rah, go Miles. So, but had we not been fasting, I wonder if we would have been had the presence of mind to understand, yes, this is a comic strip, but God is talking here and we need to pay attention. Yeah,
he can talk to us in however he chooses to, you know. And so I love that, and that he chose to use a comic strip, you know, to do that. No, it just makes me think about what you were saying there about what the doctors were saying. That's kind of where we are right now with all the COVID stuff, because if you turn on the news, you know, all we're hearing is death and destruction and, you know, all the tragedy that's going on. And yes, that is true. There is truth there, but the real truth is what God says and what is in God's word. And so I think we've got to be so careful what we're filling our minds with, especially right now. Mm-hmm. You know, are we living on a diet of news and Facebook, you know, or are we getting in the word of God where the truth is? And like you said, that kind of goes back to, I'm with you. I'm with you in this, where we can hear that truth. But if we're getting distracted by all the other voices, we can't hear that truth. And we start to sense to feel that he is not with us when that is not the truth. So,
I think we need the news for information, because we need it for that. But you're right. A steady diet of it is, it's not healthy. And, because I do believe that God has a plan for us in and through this, we need to find a way to position ourselves to hear from him what his plan is. And I believe that God can take the information that we're given in the news and use that to help us to navigate our unique way through this.
Right.
You know, one of the things during this COVID that the Lord woke me up one morning with this song in my ear. He talks to me like that sometimes. And the lyrics were, "Don't forget my faithfulness." And so, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I haven't heard that song in a while. I start humming it, but he kept like emphasizing, "Don't forget my faithfulness." And one of the concerns that Terry and I had with this COVID thing for Miles is that because he's immunosuppressed, he had a kidney transplant, we knew that he is in the high risk category. And so we determined as a family that we wouldn't let anybody in the house, mm-hmm. And that we would limit where we went, because we knew that even though it might not affect us as much, that anything we brought in could be pretty bad for him. So all day long, the Lord kept saying, "Don't forget my faithfulness, don't forget, don't forget." And so at that point, I knew he was preparing me for something. Mm-hmm. Later that evening, I called my family to come downstairs for dinner, and my daughter came to get Miles, and then she ran back and she said, "Mommy, Miles is on the floor and he's not responsive." And so I knew that's why he told me this. And so we run upstairs, and ordinarily in that kind of circumstance, Becky, my response would have been, "Oh God, Lord, why are you letting this happen? Why is this happening?" Mm-hmm. But God had told me that morning, basically, "Don't forget who I am." Mm-hmm. Even in this circumstance that hasn't changed, I'm faithful. And so our biggest fear, remember, was Miles being exposed to this virus. And so where he starts seizing, and as he's seizing, he's not breathing. And so now his lips are starting to turn blue. And so we realized we had to call the EMT. The last thing we wanted to do. Anyway, long story short, they came and they advised us to not take him to the hospital if we could treat him there. He started breathing again because they said it was more dangerous for him there than here. And so we had that information. But the point I wanted to make was that even kind of in the midst of the circumstance that was our biggest fear, God was who God is. He was faithful. And he reminded us of his faithfulness. And so in that situation, I was able to, instead of, "Oh God, why is this happening? I'm so, you know, this is our biggest fear," I was able to say, "I thank you, Lord, because you are faithful," mm-hmm. "and that you are bigger than COVID, and that you do have a plan."
So good.
To help the I don't know, to release some of the fear, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that goes back, you know, just what are you saying about your situation? Mm-hmm. You know, are you saying, you know, "This is horrible, this is terrible, this is awful," or are you saying, "I thank you, God, you're here with us. I thank mm-hmm. you for the plan and all of this." Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's one of those spiritual muscles you have to build over time and over practice of making that part of your day to day. I'm the first to admit there's so many times – especially in, when it's related to John Alex, something happens that's scary. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times my first reaction is to go into that spiral of fear and going down that pit really quick. But, you know, when I can stop and like you said, being thankful and remembering, you know, seeing, looking out for his faithfulness and all this, it's not necessarily going to take the situation away, but you will be able to handle it so much better.
Yeah. And you know what? God could have, he could have chosen not to remind me, you mm-hmm. know,
exactly.
because he knows what my normal responses have been, because they have not always been that. Mm-hmm. In fact, when it comes to Miles, for a long time, they were not that. It tells me that he wants us, he's willing to come alongside mm-hmm. us in our fear and in our concern, to remind us of the things that we already know, so that we can put into practice the things that maybe we haven't done for a while, mm-hmm. but they are things that we know. Like before he said, "Don't forget my faithfulness," I know God is faithful.
Right.
But I needed him to remind me in that moment, even Sandy, in this circumstance where you may think I don't look faithful, I have not changed. Mm-hmm. Remind yourself of that. Praise me for that. You know, there's this praise song that we used to listen to a long time ago that we used to have on repeat in Miles' hospital room. It's called "Let the Praise Begin." And in this song, it says that praising God is where your victory is, mm-hmm. that victory for your family, health for your kids, everything that you want is in praising God for who he is. And so, again, just to be reminded of that, even during COVID, that mm-hmm. God has not changed. His love for us hasn't changed. His commitment to us hasn't changed. He's the only one who is all powerful, which means he's greater than COVID and anything that COVID can
do to us. Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
and the thing is, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus to save us, we have that hope of something way better than what's here. And so I think for me, COVID has just helped me to be even more so heaven focused, mm-hmm. of going, this is, you know, all this is going to pass away at some point, but we have an eternal home, mm-hmm. That's waiting for us. You know, if we're trusting in Jesus, what Jesus did for us. And so, that for me has been, I've tried to keep that heavenward mindset instead of looking at all the things that are going on around me. What are some of the other things that you have put in practice over the years that have helped you?
You know, so one of the other things we learned while we're in the hospital that has been very helpful for Miles kind of in his school life was to seek out information, mm-hmm. To not rely only on the information that you get from the professionals, but actually to kind of go to school yourself on your child's disability, in Miles's case, kind of health issues and school issues, so that we can advocate for mm-hmm. our kids. Because, you know, one of the things I tell parents is that the only person in any room who is there solely for the best interest of your child is you. Yes. That every other person in the room has someone else's interest that they have to consider. Mm-hmm. And so it has to be our responsibility to know for ourselves what's best for them, so that we can contribute kind of to the team, but also to advocate for them when people are trying to convince us to do things that are not in Miles' best interest. Do we have time for a story for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
One time, again, in the hospital, and then also in school. So there was a medication that they wanted to give Miles in the hospital. And it had something to do with his kidney function, because his kidney shut down as part of this illness. And so Terry and I had gotten our hands on a drug reference guide, one of the ones that they use in the hospital. So every medication they brought to us, we looked it up so we could see for ourselves, what are the side effects? What is it supposed to do? This particular medication, it said in this guide that it, while great for adults, it kills kids. That's what it said. It kills children.
Wow.
And so we told the doctor, no, we don't want to do this because this book says that it kills kids. Every shift, every doctor that came in said to us, you really need to do this for your son because it's going to help him with this, that, and the other. Even Miles's nephrologist, his personal nephrologist, said, you need to do this. And we kept saying, no, it kills kids. Well, again, unbeknownst to us, they had just hired a new nephrologist, adult nephrologist at the hospital. Our nephrologist talked to him about this drug. And the nephrologist said to him, don't give that medication to that little boy because it kills kids.
Oh, my word. Wow.
And so, again, God showing us that he was in it with us. Mm-hmm. But had we not been informed ourselves, and I even think that God led us in being able to get that information. But if we're not informed ourselves, we can't advocate for our kids the way that we need to. I've also been able to do that with Miles in school. And in this past season, the Lord told me that greater advocacy would be necessary for him because he was transitioning out of the school system and things needed to be put in place for him to transition well. We did not have a transition coordinator at our high school who was willing to work with Miles's class. Miles's class has the more profound special needs. And so for whatever reason, the transition coordinator had decided that it was not worth her while to work with Miles's class, and the district let her get away with it.
Yeah.
I found out kind of in my research that is against the law. You cannot not provide a transition coordinator. And so that's what I said to the district. This is against the law. We can, if we want to, sue you for not providing this service. Never want to sue anybody.
Right.
But what he did was let us contract with an organization outside of the school system. And the transition coordinator that we got was amazing. Mm. She knew everything. Mm. And so it benefited Miles. It benefited every other parent who this other woman would not work with. So all the other kids in Miles's class had access to this woman. We were supposed to have had a classroom situation that taught vocational skills, life skills, all of those things. They kept not doing it. So anyway, long story short, I was able through advocacy to get that classroom set up. So now Miles's classroom, it was pretty sweet, set up like an apartment. They did life skills. They went out into the community. He got to volunteer at the library and at the soup kitchen. He was able to go and do data entry at different places and stuff. I was able to get bus service for him to go to all these places, but it was because the Lord told me I needed to advocate. Now, one of the things I'll say about this, Becky, is every step of the way, I just did the next thing, because I've never been through transition planning. I have no idea what it's supposed to look like. And so I did my research and I did the thing that I found. Mm. And when I took the next step, I would do more research and I would do the next thing that I found. And so in doing that, I was able to get Miles into a wonderful day program that had a waiting list that was 2 years long. But we were able to get him in, so he was supposed to have started in July. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, at the end of Miles's high school career, when we were doing the exit meeting, this transition coordinator, all of his therapists and stuff were saying, oh, Sandy, you knew how to do this, that, and the other thing. And what I said to them is, I knew nothing.
Yeah.
I knew nothing. I prayed. And then I did the next thing in front of me. I had no idea what the next step was I did not know, but I kept taking step after step after step. And he ended up in the place that we wanted him to be. I did not know that when I started.
Right.
And so there are so many instances when God calls us to just take the next step and take the next step and take the next step. And then you look back at all those steps and you can see, wow, God opened that door. wow, it was great that we couldn't use that transition coordinator because this woman had more knowledge and experience than any of the ones the school had in place. Wow, if I hadn't talked to this person, I would never have met that person who introduced me to this person. When I was going through it, it just felt like almost confusion because I didn't know. But when I look back, I realized that God was with me every single step, every step of the way. And I think that sometimes, at least for me, as a follower of Christ, my thought was, when God is in it, it's going to be so easy.
Right.
It's going to be smooth.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not that.
No.
It's not that. It really is a trust walk. Every step.
Well, did you find that you had more peace in the process because you had been praying? And so when those doors were opening or doors were shutting, you just sound like, I'm just going to follow the path because, you know, is that how you felt through that?
You know, I felt, the word that comes to me is more emboldened. Because I had prayed and I believed that some kind of way that God was going to get Miles to where he was supposed to be. And I was not willing to let anybody get in the way of that. Mm-hmm. And so there were times when I had to make a phone call that was going to be uncomfortable. And I didn't want to because I knew how uncomfortable it would be. And so I would pray about it and then do the thing, even though it was hard and uncomfortable for me, and I was concerned that it would be unpopular.
Yeah.
There were times when God gave me favor with people who I'm just like, wow. Like, you know, when you have to deal with the government and certain things?
Right.
Take forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
But God gave me favor with this one guy who claimed he couldn't find Miles's paperwork. He said, but I'm so sorry. I'm going to come to your house. You're not going to have to fill it out. We're going to do this together. Mm. But then God helped him to find the paperwork. And so, but the fact that he was willing to do that, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
The fact that he got into a program that had a 2-year waiting list, that's the favor of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of the obedience part is what opens those doors. Mm-hmm. And so what it gave me was a sense of boldness. It gave me, I didn't feel like I could not do it. And that's because I believe that whatever happened, God was going to be in it. You know, when I got the call from him about that program, Becky, all I could do was cry because all I could say was, God, who does this?
Yeah.
you know, who does this? But he's no respecter of persons. I know that to be true. And so when people are saying, oh, Sandy, he did this, that, but yes, he'll do that for whosoever will believe that he is who he says he is. And he will do the thing. He'll do the thing if we give him the opportunity, you know?
I knew I was going to love this conversation. I didn't know how much I was going to love this conversation, but I've had goosebumps multiple times as we've been talking. It's just so good. And hearing the story of your faithfulness from the moment that he got sick. Now, that doesn't mean that everything has been sunshine and roses the whole time. You've still had to fight, and you've still had to do your part in whatever God told you to do, but you have been able to see God open doors that needed to be open and shut doors that needed to be shut. And but the thing is too, you've been on the lookout for them. You know what I'm saying? Like God is with you. You are giving God the glory when those things do happen.
Mm-hmm.
And not, oh, look what I did. Let's look what God did. Yeah.
You know, and I do want to emphasize for people, I can tell these stories now about how wonderful God is and faithful. Mm-hmm. When you're going through it, it's scary.
Yes.
Because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, he does, but we didn't know what the outcome was when we were telling those doctors, no, we're not going to give it to him because it kills kids. At the time, we didn't know whether or not that was the right decision to make, you know? And we realized that if we were wrong, that the stakes were high, but we chose to trust God that even if we were wrong, that he would find a way to try to make it right. Mm-hmm. And truth be told, Becky, I don't know how many times I may have missed God. I am sure that I did. I am sure that I did. But I don't know how many times, you know. I can recount these stories now and they bring tears to my eyes because, again, who does that?
But your heart was open. Your heart was open to be obedient and do. And so, man, I love that so much. And, you know, I could talk for hours, but we're coming close to the end of our time. You know, we end every podcast with the one thing. And so I want to ask you, what would be the one thing that you would say to a parent who's maybe struggling with worry and anxiety over trusting that God's plans for them are good, trusting that God's going to lead them in the best decisions for their child? What would be the one thing that you would say to those parents?
You know, what the Lord woke me up with this morning was, don't forget who I am and praise me for who I am, because as uncertain as COVID might be and all the circumstances, I haven't changed. Mm. I am still your Savior and your Redeemer. I am still sovereign. I am still faithful. I still want to show you the good plans I have for your life, not plans to harm you, but plans to give you a future and a hope. I'm still that God.
Yeah.
Praise me for that. Even in the midst of kind of this storm or this pandemic we find ourselves in, because that opens up the door for God to work. The word says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Mm-hmm. So if you want my presence with you, praise me in the midst of this, because I haven't changed. That also means to me that not only is God willing to help us in this, he wants to.
Yeah.
He's waiting for us so that he can show us, because he will be glorified as his children are victorious in and through this thing. It does not glorify him to see us suffering and worrying and stuff. And again, it's not easy. You know, it has not been easy being the teacher and the physical therapist and the this and the that and the that during this time, and wondering every time we go out or take our kids out, are we putting them in harm's way? That's a natural, normal thing to be concerned about. And God knows those concerns and wants to be with us in them. Mm-hmm. He hasn't changed. I don't know. This comes to mind. Let him be who he has always been, even in this. He's God.
That's so right and so wise. And I'm so grateful for you giving up this time to be with us. You have so many. We're going to have to come back together again because and have another conversation about something different, because I just... the stories that you have to share, the wisdom that you have to bring, it's needed in the special needs community. So I say thank you. And so you have a website. If people want to know more about your coaching and what that looks like, so tell everybody your website. We'll include the link in the show notes as well. But tell everybody your website.
All right. It is called undisabledlives.org. That's UN disabled, DISABLED, lives, plural, .org.
And it's a beautiful site, so go check it out.
Thank you.
No, it really is. And go check out Sandy and what she has to offer. And then I will say, too, if you want to get to spend more time with Sandy, she's going to be leading one of our fall community groups on Friday mornings. Remind me of the time, Sandy.
11:30.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Eastern. Yes. 10:30 Central. On, I think it's Surviving Life Storms. Isn't that the one you're doing?
Yes. Yes.
So it goes right along with what we're talking about here. So yes. Sandy's going to be leading a group for moms. And that's going to start after Labor Day. I forget the exact date of what that's going to be.
But September, the week of September 13th.
She's on it. Thank you, Sandy. But so that's
can I just put a plug in for that? One of the things please. I love more than anything is bringing people together, connecting people around the word. And so I had the privilege of doing one of these groups this summer. And I'm telling you how rich the conversations are to have people who are experiencing kind of some of the same struggles and the same COVID thing, just to remind each other, to encourage each other, to laugh together, to kind of hold each other up. It really is priceless and so needed. God puts us in community for a reason. And so please, please, please take advantage of these groups. You will be blessed by them.
Good plug. And so if the time that Sandy's group doesn't meet work for you, there's other groups that are meeting all throughout the week. From marriage topics to, I mean, you name it, we've got it pretty much, just special needs related. And so check that out. But if you want to get to know Sandy better, her group's going to meet on Fridays. And I'm just telling you, you will just love the time that you get to spend with her and the other moms that'll be in that group. So check that out. And we'll have the sign up information also in the show notes so you can check that out. Sandy, I am so grateful for you. I'm just grateful for you taking your time and sharing your stories, and you're coming back. We're gonna have another conversation later about something else. So just thank you again, and we're grateful for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.